Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
Testify to us, O God, by the voice of your Spirit. Put your law in our hearts, write your word in our minds, and show your will for our lives through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 1 through 5 and 9 through 10. And it's on page 346 and 47 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible or on the screens. Please follow along as I read. Then all the tribes of Israel came to David at Hebron and said, "Look, we are your bone and flesh. For some time while Saul was king over us, it was you who led out Israel and brought it in. The Lord said to you, 'It is you who shall be shepherd of my people Israel, you who shall be ruler over Israel.' So all the elders of Israel came to the king at Hebron, and King David made a covenant with them at Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over Israel. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. At Hebron, he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And at Jerusalem, he reigned over all Israel and Judah 33 years. David occupied the stronghold and named it the City of David. David built the city all around from the Milo inwards. And David became greater and greater, for the Lord, the God of hosts, was with him." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I should have just stayed where I was and waited to come up here. But I didn't, so, but it made me think a lot about David and the part that I decided not to use today, which is the dancing in Jerusalem, because I wasn't sure where to go with it. Probably I needed to hear Shemaine preach on it first, because that's what she's preaching on, I think. But anyway, it made me think of that, and it made me think, wow, it's so exciting to dance with zeal for the Lord. Isn't that really exciting? So David is an interesting individual. His name is mentioned more than anybody else's in the Bible except Jesus. And of course, Jesus is directly from David's line. And David started out as a lowly shepherd, the youngest kid in the family of however many, 7, I think, or maybe 8. And nobody noticed him, and all of a sudden, Jesse had to have him come out. Well, you know the story. He was anointed, and he was a musician. He didn't, you know, seem like the kind of guy who would be a warrior, right? But what did he do last week? Well, he probably didn't do it last week, but he did it in the scripture for last week, and he took out that great Philistine. Nobody thought that it could be done by anybody, let alone him, but David's God was with him. David's God was with him. And that's who he exactly needed. That's who we all need. After all that, and after Saul really got nervous about David because David might take things over, Saul decided he hated David. And so Saul was working hard to find a way to get rid of him. I expect David developed a bunch of other enemies along the way. But David was loyal, and he grieved deeply when Saul died. I find that amazing because I'm not sure I'm that good of a person. If somebody was trying to kill me, I'm not sure I'd grieve at their death. I think I might rejoice. Now, that seems a little sinful in a way, but David wasn't like me. David was a good person. Of course, later on, we discover that actually David had the ability to sin, and his sin was great. But we all make mistakes. We all sin. So now, today, we are visiting David in Hebron, and the Israelites realize that they need a king, and they've seen David in operation. Judah was separate from the other tribes, and they united. They united as a family. That's really exciting. A family. We need a family. We need a tribe. We need a pack. We need a group to be with. I remember when we got seeing eye dogs, they told us that we were the leader of the pack. Well, that was pretty easy, just me and a dog, and maybe a few other people, but all of those people and all of those battles. And David fought battle after battle after battle, but God was with him. He prospered and was great, and God was with him. Everything he did was good, and God was with him. That's just wonderful. Wonderful. It doesn't always feel like that, I think, but sometimes I think we go through real struggles, and then we discover, if not why, we discover what the road led to. That happened to me in my long, long, long road to becoming a pastor. It was a rather long road. Well, I won't talk about how long, but it was long. I always wanted to do it, and I never gave it up. And so now I'm almost ready to be there. And that's because of God and my family, not my family, like my husband and my kid who doesn't go to church and says she doesn't believe in God. She probably won't even show up for my ordination. I don't think she'll have time to. But my other family, the people who've been so good and so kind. And David suddenly had a family because they realized that without him and without God, probably some of them mostly figured it was without him and didn't give God a whole lot of second thoughts. But David knew. Remember when he was anointed, the Spirit came over him mightily. That happened to Saul too, only he kind of lost it. He started doing the wrong thing. And the difference between him and David is probably that David repented and Saul really didn't. That probably is the difference. So I wonder, do we repent for our sins? I'm not sure I always do. Have you ever said, well, I did this and I don't regret it? Maybe that's the wrong thing to say. But then maybe sometimes it's real, and yet if it's something that was hurtful, we have to ask for forgiveness. So David had this big family, and he held the unity together for as long as he was king, and Solomon follows in that, and then it all falls apart later. But I was just thinking, what a nice big family that was. And yet there are always enemies, and he always had to be on the lookout for enemies. And at the end, there became a major struggle for him for his successor. We probably get to talk about that, so I probably shouldn't rush ahead too much. It'd be spoiler. But David was a man who was a model, except for his sins, of Jesus. And later we hear about David, and with regard to Jesus, Jesus talks about David. And that those blind guys, especially Bartimaeus and I don't know, there's a whole bunch of blind guys in the New Testament. And I like Bartimaeus because I always figure he belonged to the National Federation of the Blind because they told him to shut up, and he said, not on your life. Well, he said Jesus, son of David, didn't he? So he knew, lots of people knew, and yet they didn't understand. Seems like we're sort of slow to understand, doesn't it? But this family took care of David and each other. They did things together. They fought just like siblings do. They made up just like siblings do sometimes. And some of them probably never really did. Sometimes we alienate ourselves from the family. But God is always with us, always, if we just let God in. I think that is a comfort. Because sometimes it feels as if there is nobody and that we're walking alone. I'm betting David felt like that even sometimes. But he knew without a doubt that he was not alone because God was with him. And God had turned him from a lowly young shepherd to a mighty warrior and king. It's really not hard to understand why Saul was afraid of him. But he was also kind. He took care of people in Saul's family. Saul had a son who was lame and needed help, and David saw to it that he was cared for. I like that part of David's story. Well, I like all of David's story mostly, except that one part where Bathsheba comes in, but I guess you just can't have everything. It isn't a fairy tale after all. It's the story of a real man who truly sinned. I believe that David had such a mountain of faith that he believed God would always be with him. So much maybe that he didn't even maybe realize he was making a mistake. It seems hard to reconcile him with the warrior that he was. And yet, if you have to save your nation from all of the people who are warring against you, including often some parts of the nation, you have to be strong and you have to be vigilant and you clearly have to be with God. I like the part of the story where David says, "Shall I go up against the Philistines?" And God says, "You shall go." And then the next time he says he's wanting to do that, God says, "No, you've got to go around and come in from another direction." I like that. I bet a lot of generals wish they had that kind of a God. And maybe they do if they would just listen and pay attention. Maybe some of them pay attention and they really come up with that kind of thing. David was a family man. David was a good man. David sometimes went astray like we all do, and sometimes there are awful consequences for that. But David's God was with him all of the time, and David succeeded. I figured it out that David must have been about the age I am now when he got done reigning, but I think I was in a little better health than he seemed to be at the time. Anyway, I digress, but it was fascinating to me when I read it and figured up David's age when he died. So it's just a kind of fascinating thing. David is somebody I think we should know all about and study carefully, because he had a family. His family realized he was mighty and that God was with him. And he realized that God was with him. I suspect he suffered from some of the same things we suffer from. If we have enough success, sometimes we kind of forget that it's not us, it's God, and we start taking credit for all those things. I know for sure that I need to be careful not to do that, because I'm pretty sure I don't get too much credit for anything that I've done. But still, isn't it human nature? So God is with David. God is with you and me. God makes us all a family. And if we choose to be one, who knows what we can do? Amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission this morning is about Presbyterian Disaster Assistance. It's a portion of Covenant's mission budget every year goes to support PDA's work of bearing witness to the healing love of Christ through caring for communities adversely affected by crises and catastrophic events. PDA is proud to be one of the first groups on the ground after a disaster, and almost always one of the last to remain at work for long-term recovery. We coordinate disaster assistance through existing mission partnerships. Domestically, that means reaching out to local congregations and presbyteries to determine where the needs are and how best to help. For disasters elsewhere in the world, we coordinate with Presbyterian mission co-workers, partner agencies, and sister denominations. We are connecting right now with partners on the ground in Libya to coordinate a response to the devastating flooding there. PDA's goal is always to relieve pressure on affected communities, to provide support where it is most needed, and strengthen our neighbors in the process. Our blue t-shirts display our purpose: out of chaos, hope. Thank you for Covenant's ongoing support of this life-giving mission and partner.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.